Lord Jesus, we submit to you, and we ask that you would open our ears, open our understanding, open our hearts, that we could comprehend what your word is saying to us specifically. Because your word has a message tonight, and the message is to open us up, in Jesus' name. I want to take you very sweetly to Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, you see the transfiguration, etc., etc., and I don't want to go there at all. What I do want is when they're coming down off the mountain, they're questioning the Lord, verse 11. And they asked him, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. Which he was speaking about John the Baptist. Now, that's a pattern of things to come. Because it says in the scripture that he will return again. The same spirit of Elijah will return again. But in verse 14, we have an area where there's a boy that has an evil spirit. And it's kind of neat that we have Zephaniah here tonight. And the Lord did some healing on him tonight. So we're excited about that. Verse 14 says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. So notice there's two groups now. There's the disciples and the teachers of the law, which are the Jews. Verse 15. Now you got to remember their disciples are of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's come as grace and as favor and mercy. And they are not accepting some of his teachings because he's going, according to them, beyond the law. So verse 15, as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. So you can just kind of picture that scenario. And these are the teachers that have studied for years and years. And if you remember, Jesus is a Galilean. And if you were to have lived in Galilee at that time, it would have been probably known as Las Vegas or downtown New York. So that's kind of where Jesus was brought up. Which means that his reputation was, you hang out with all those sinners. Got it? Verse 16, what are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Notice again, he has knowledge about the spirit, number one. He knows this spirit is robbing. So those of you who have had a problem with your speech, who's robbing? It's not you that's the problem. It's the spirit that robs. The negative spirit. Okay? Verse 18, whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. It doesn't say he throws himself. He says he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Now, if we were in Hollywood, it would make a great movie, and it would sell millions of dollars worth. But if we were downtown, and we brought you to Mercy Hospital, or Bay State, they'd give you a couple of shots and say, you'll be fine in the morning. And we'll have you advertised as one that's not too well. So we'll send you to the psychiatrist because there's something wrong with you. Amen? So notice the different scenario. In Hollywood, it would be a bestseller. In downtown medical USA, it would be a crisis that the psychiatrist and the drugs will take care of, and you don't have to worry about a thing. They'll be fine in the morning. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 19. Watch his words now, because they're quite dramatic. Oh, unbelieving generation. It's not just one person. The whole generation is problem. Their unbelief is an irritation to the Lord. Oh, unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Now here's Papa, right? So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into the convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus did not give him a hypodermic needle. He didn't have a glass of water and a couple of pills. Are you catching on? What did he do? Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. So you know what this negative force wants to do. It wants to kill. So don't get religious on me. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. So the father is desperate. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Look at your neighbor. Say, get with the action. Everything is possible. If you just believe. Don't try to believe. Just believe. Don't try to reason it out. Just believe. Choose to believe. Activate your will. And believe. So, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I love this because I can relate. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So that's the next level. If you can't overcome your unbelief, you can have some help from who? Is he dead? Or has he risen? If he's risen, then you can ask him for help. Now this time I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to put one hand on your memory banks in the back of your head. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to help my unbelief. Activate whatever you need to do into my memory banks so that my believer will believe in the future. That nothing is impossible with you. And it's nothing is impossible for me. All things can be done. If I simply believe, and I renounce the unbelief, I renounce the fear tactics from my old thoughts. I renounce them now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are helping my unbelief. It's becoming a great habit now. To believe that you can do all things as I believe in you. Amen? Verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. He did not irritate the child. He did not speak to the child. Here's what he said. You deaf and mute spirit, I command you come out of him and never enter him again. Ephesians 6:12 says your battle is not against flesh and blood. God has given us all authority. And we are waiting for somebody else to use the authority he's given us. How many of you know you were born with a mouth? Thank you. Use it for him. Yes, Lord. This morning, nice and early, the Lord was on the job. He reminded me. My part is to believe and to say to the mountain, meaning I got to speak to the mountain of human obstacles in my life. God spoke what he had need of and desired to see. What he wanted to have, trees and birds and fish, he spoke them into existence. Because our God is a God of faith and he is the living word. Amen? He relied on himself and his own faith in order to bring that about. He did not rely on somebody else to speak it into existence because he was the creator and he still is. He hasn't changed. However, Adam's nature speaks what he has seen already. Adam's nature, which is the flesh, the part of me that is not born again, the part of my soul that still rules and reigns in this body and tries to pull me down and destroy me, the Adam nature speaks what he has seen already. Adam goes by confidence in his own knowledge of good and evil. Did you try that one on? Discernment is not an attribute of your brain. Discernment is an attribute of your spirit. And if you haven't developed your spiritual senses, you won't discern a thing. Jesus did not speak to the boy and say, straighten up and get yourself out of the water. Jesus spoke to the spirit that was trying to kill the child. Jesus didn't go according to what he saw. He got rid of the problem by addressing the spirit that was doing the best it could to destroy this child. So Adam goes by confidence in his own knowledge of the good and evil. He relies on experiences and goes by yesterday and the knowledge of yesterday and yesteryear. There's no faith in that. It's all head knowledge. This is how much man has fallen into Satan's nature. God is a now believer and always speaks his future today. He knows that by faith his tomorrow will be greater, and he lives in a peaceful now. No fears, no doubts. So have faith of God to activate your tomorrow. Many years back, my old pastor used to say, it's time for us to live our tomorrows today. And your tomorrows can be blessed,
highly favored, or filled with the future of your own mouth, depending on what you're going to be confessing. It's up to you. If Jesus would have chosen to pick on that poor kid, tell me what would have been the results for that family.
Devastation.
Yes, devastation. And the child would have eventually been killed. Because that spirit was doing what it knows how to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. Are you supposed to be afraid of them?
No.
No. See, if you activate your inner man, instead of activating your brain, which is the knowledge of good and evil, and all the things you learn, even the Bible can be a distraction. Because you can learn all about the do's and don'ts, and you'll cancel your faith immediately. Because the law cancels faith. That's why that the Pharisees were having a hard time, and you can check that out in Romans 14. And I'm not going to go there. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." It was a reality that actually happened the moment he spoke. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, did he want to hide from the crowd? No. But I'm positive he didn't want to embarrass his father or his child. And he wasn't looking for a scene for everybody to start lifting him up. Verse 26, the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." So why was Jesus wasting his time praying to Papa all the time? Because he was preparing to set the captives free. Some Bibles say that you need to do the fasting. From what I understand, and I heard this morning, Joseph Prince, he says, in the original Greek, there's no such thing. It's prayer. It's not all about what you are going to activate on your own in order to form an opinion to get rid of a negative spirit. What's important is you rely on the Lord and His faith. Verse 30, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. When I began to understand who had destroyed some of my family, instead of being angry at them, I got angry at the spirits. It's time that you stop picking on yourself. Because your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not about people doing stuff to you. It's about you choosing to ask the Lord to believe that not only are you blessed, but whatever they try to do to you, they will accomplish. Because your Lord is on the job. So if you've got a problem, if you've got difficulties that are acting up, run to Jesus. Run to Him. Talk to Him about it. And ask Him to really transform your mind from one of, "Oh my God, I'm being persecuted again. I'm being watched, blah, blah, blah,"
My God, I've got people that keep their eyes on the front porch of the neighbor in case there's something out there that they're doing some kind of silly things. And I'll tell you, you're wasting your time. The blood of Jesus covers you. His fire is all around you. All you've got to do is declare it with your mouth. Protection for your today's depends on your confession of yesterday. Protection for your tomorrow's depends on your confession for today. So why don't you do me a favor? Would you stand, please? Put your Bibles down. Lift your hands to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm making my confession. Tomorrow is going to be the best day. Because you're in charge. Your angels are ministering spirits. They've prepared to do what I declare. And I'm declaring now. Tomorrow's an awesome day. It's a blessed day. It's a holy day unto the Lord. I'm going to be blessed from the start of the morning. All the way to the time for sleeping. And I will rest in the knowledge that my Heavenly Father and the angelic realm are in full force doing a work to keep me safe, to keep me prosperous, and to keep healing me. Because He's not done with me yet. He is working out everything for good because of His love for me. Even if I don't think I'm lovable. It's not about my thinking. It's about God's plan. For God so loved the world. Sometimes I'd like to readjust them. But God so loved the world. He gave His Son. To pay the ransom. And I'm part of it. Hallelujah. Check out with your neighbor. Give him a hug. It's time to celebrate for tomorrow.
Amen.